The Matt Bubala Show on 720 WGN. We are just a few days away. We've been caught up in so much excitement over the Cubs here that it sort of almost forgot a little bit that the fact is we're going to elect a president here in a couple of days. And the polls have been changing quite a bit over the last few weeks, especially as day after day, one bombshell story after another comes out. Joining us on the phone to talk about the polls that you keep hearing about and how much quality should we put into them or think of them as having, I guess, is the question. He's the owner of Competitive Edge Research. His name is John Neenstead. He joins us on the phone. Hey, John, how are you?
Hey, I'm very good, especially after the big Cubs win. And you guys are lucky in Chicago to be distracted from this election by a big World Series victory.
Now, you're out in California. Are you a Dodgers fan out there, or what's...
I'm a baseball fan, but okay. I'm really a Padres fan.
Okay.
But I'll tell you, I saw my first baseball game at Wrigley Field at the age of five. And so I've got a soft spot in my heart for the Cubs and Wrigley Field. So
very
I'll
cool.
pick Chicago, too.
Very cool. We appreciate that. We'll take everything. Everybody on board for right now. All right. And you're right. We have been distracted a little bit. Although here's what happened to me today, John. I was actually out of town for a few days this week. So I watched the games from afar. And then I get back. And, you know, we had this huge, ginormous parade on Friday morning in Chicago. And so in the morning, I switched on the TV to local Channel 9 here to watch the coverage. And the people are gathering downtown crazy early in the morning, and there's all this great coverage. And every time they go to a commercial break, Cialis and Viagra couldn't buy a dollar in Edgewise today. It was nothing but political ad after political ad after political ad, and a lot of them were national, a lot of them were local. Some were for Northwest Indiana, which is part of our metro. I mean, it was amazing to me how much money was being spent on these ads, and a lot of them were still attack ads. And I thought we had generally heard that if, you know, within a week or two of the election, you usually start focusing more on your own candidate versus slamming the other candidate. But it was all over the place, and it was nonstop political campaign commercials. So we're very much in the thick of it right now. And as you know, new poll after new poll comes out. And usually that ends, I think, right around now. We should be hearing our last polls pretty soon, I think. But I want to ask you, as we see these polls fluctuate quite a bit here in the last few weeks, how much credence do we put into these polls? How much quality is in them? And how much do you trust them when you hear about them?
Well, okay, so at a national level, which is really what we're talking about, anybody in the country can talk about national polls, not talking about Illinois polls or California polls, but nationally, the folks that are working at the national level tend to know what they're doing. In particular, I like Gary Langer's poll for ABC News. He is a very, very good pollster, and his was the first poll to show the tightening, the tracking tightening over the last week and a half or so. And he started out at Clinton having a 12-point advantage, and then actually Trump had a 1-point advantage here a couple of days ago before now bending back to a 3-point advantage for Clinton. But what everybody has to remember is every poll, even tracking polls, are snapshots in time, and people change their minds. Voters change their minds. That's the whole reason campaigns are run, because those campaigns want to change voters' minds, and a good poll is going to reflect that.
Does it amaze you, John, that you can actually say that in this election? I could see in a lot of other elections, but in this election, if by now you somehow have not decided I'm voting for this person or that person, that's pretty amazing, I think, because there's such different candidates. Or does it speak to maybe a level of dislike and distrust in both of these candidates that people actually maybe can't decide between the two of them?
The second one is absolutely valid. We have never had, in the history of polling at least, as far back as polling goes, two more odious candidates, not even close. We've got Hillary campaign is struggling with a candidate whose negatives are now up to 60. Trump's been there for a long time. So that's what voters are struggling with. So the last, 10% pocket of voters, 1 out of 10 voters who are undecided or on the fence, they're the ones that are struggling to make up their mind and will make the difference in this race.
That's amazing to me. It's just amazing to me. 538.com, Nate Silver's site, is you know, people say it's so accurate, it's so accurate, it's so accurate. And I've been watching his site over the last couple of weeks, and I'm amazed at how much it's changing. Just, I want to say 2 weeks ago, he had Hillary Clinton as having about an 84% chance of winning the election. As of today, when I'm looking at it, she's down to a 66.4% chance. So it really can swing quite a bit here at the end. Is the history of polling show that that's generally true, that just because somebody was winning a month ago, 2 weeks ago, doesn't mean they're going to stick that out to Election Day? Things really can swing right up until the end?
Well, polls, campaigns, polls are reflecting campaigns, and campaigns are snowflakes. In other words, there's not two situations that are exactly alike. So when you look back over history, some campaigns, some races were done in early October. Others were done the last 3 or 4 days. The thing about these races for president is they are so intense, and everybody is voting on them, and there is such so the stakes are so high that you can get changes in the last 72 hours that really matter and either solidify one of the candidates or sometimes rarely flip things. Usually it's more a solidification of what's been trending over the last, say, week or two. In this case, you're correct about Nate Silver's 538.com. I believe it's around 67%, two-thirds chance that Hillary Clinton will win. He does a great job. I don't disagree with what he is putting up there. He's also got a lot of history and a lot of experience and a good track record.
All right, let's take a quick break, because when we come back, I want to ask a couple questions about polling itself and how it affects the public consciousness. You know, now that Hillary has come back to earth, does that give momentum to the undecideds? Do people want to vote on a winner? Do people want to be on the side that has the momentum? Does that affect things? And also, let's talk about the quality of all these polls that are being aggregated and being promoted. How good are they? Who is responding to these polls, and how much credence should we put into them? We'll find out next. Matt Bubala with you here on 720 WGN.
Try to see it my way. Do I have to keep on talking till I can go on? While you see it your way, run the risk of knowing that our love may soon be gone. We can work it out. We can work it out.
It's the Matt Bubala Show on 720 WGN. We're speaking with John Needstead. He is the owner of Competitive Edge Research. You can find him on Twitter at Competitive Edge or see their website, CERC.net. John, let's talk real quick about momentum and the polls, because it seems, you know, we have these scandals coming out day after day for both of them. And in the last couple of weeks, it's really swung against Hillary Clinton that it's affected her polling numbers. And Donald Trump hasn't had to be on the defensive as much for a while. She was riding on just, I think, almost staying out of the limelight, letting his gaffe or scandal of the day, you know, hurt him, and she just stayed out of the way, and now things are getting, and he's able to just sort of stay out of it and not have it affect him. It's like a race to the bottom between the two of them, and who's nobody's going to win this race. Somebody's going to lose this race is how I feel about it at this point, John. But let's talk about momentum, because it feels like to me that once something happens and all these polls start changing, then they start changing even more and more and more, as if the hearing about the polls maybe sometimes affects people. I know that we've talked a lot about over the last few years when results are being called early, how that can affect other voters. If we're calling the East Coast early in the day while the West Coast polls are still open, that might affect voter turnout and things like that. When poll numbers come out, do you think that helps sway? It builds momentum. If Donald Trump starts polling better, that's going to help him poll even better because people hear about how he's polling better. Does it affect our consciousness like that?
I don't think so. There is no solid evidence to suggest that. People have looked into the bandwagon effect. I don't think that it's there or been proven. Now, does it ever happen? Does it happen to a few people? Yeah, I don't think it's enough to swing elections, because I think voters in the United States are serious about who they vote for, how they cast their ballot. Now, in extreme cases, for instance, Gary Johnson having, 5% of the vote now. He had probably 10% of the vote 2 weeks ago. I think what's happening there is people might be looking at the polls and saying, well, Gary Johnson doesn't have a chance. I don't want to throw my vote away. And so his support gets down from people who were toying with him to only the hardcore libertarian party registrants. So in that case, I could see it affecting a race, and in a very close race, maybe that does play into it. But the fact of the matter is, in this United States, there's a long tradition of taking your vote seriously, and I don't think folks are going to look at polls to make their decision. They're going to look at the issues. They're going to look at the candidates. They're going to look at the candidate personalities.
Do you think polls are more for the media to give them something to talk about, to give us a discussion to have in a weird way?
Well, I'm actually a campaign pollster. So what I do is I work for campaigns and help them try and understand what's going on in the electorate. That's really the value of polling, to understand what's going on. I wish more of the media political polls out there would be doing more to understand why things are the way they are than just the horse race, because I do think the horse race question is superficial in many ways, and I do think it fills a news hole that needs to be filled, but probably is not doing the best service to the readers of the newspapers or the listeners to the radio shows.
When candidates or their surrogates start posting, we've seen a lot of this year. I don't know if we've ever seen it before, but we're seeing it this year. I'll see candidates tweet out about polls that they're winning, and they're internet polls where anybody can go on and vote probably as many times as they want. And it's
terrible.
Done by either a left-leaning or a right-leaning organization, so you know who's going to be on there voting. And they're like,
terrible,
look, we won. That has to drive you insane.
Yeah, that's terrible. That should be a disqualifier for any candidate that's touting that sort of thing. That should be automatic disqualification from my pollster point of view. These are self-selected. They're not even samples. They're just self-selected people that are going on and ginning up support. So that's doing a disservice to the polling industry. Those are not real polls.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, let's talk about the quality of the polls then, because I wonder, with all the technology we have today, what are these still phone calls just to houses? And, because I'll tell you, John, in our house, if you call our phone, we're so unlikely to answer unless we recognize the number. And it's, it's always telemarketers or people asking for donations or whatever, and we let it go to voicemail. I can't imagine we would ever happen to pick up the phone and answer and respond to a poll. So how good are the polling places about making sure they have the correct sample, not just of, like, say, older people who never got into call waiting and still pick up their phone every time it calls? And how accurate do you think a lot of those polls are?
Well, you're asking a big, long, good question. Unfortunately, we probably don't have enough time to get into all the nuances here, but this is something. I belong to an association, American Association of Public Opinion Researchers, and we look at this issue absolutely all the time. If you're stuck with just landline calling, you're going to have big problems, because exactly what you said, you're going to get older folks. There is a huge difference between the landline sample and the cell phone sample. So good polling firms call cell phones. You have to do that with live interviewers. You can't do that with just an automated calling system. So when you look at these polls, generally speaking, live interview polls are going to be higher quality than those that just rely on an automated call. In addition to that, Competitive Edge, our firm, adds an online polling element to it. So if a portion of the folks that we're surveying are being surveyed via their computer or mobile device, that sort of thing. So multi-mode is what we call it in the polling world. It is going to be the future of polling. I don't think the phone is going to go away, but there will be other ways of doing the survey, other modes that good pollsters will use to keep their data quality at the highest level.
So it depends on who the poll is, and you think that between all the major news organizations that are throwing polls out there, are there some that you look at, kind of give a little side eye to, and some, like you mentioned, the ABC poll, that you're like, okay, this is the one I really trust. I know what they're putting into this, and I think this is more accurate than most of the others?
I think, Matt, that the major polling firms out there and the major networks out there are all doing a good job. Mm-hmm. I would say that, based upon my personal knowledge, that ABC's poll is the one that I trust the most. I think they're all sufficiently good, but I think that one is probably the best.
When you see the national polls, like nationally, Clinton has 48% like right now on 538, Hillary at 48.4, Donald Trump at 45.3. And I see those all the time and I think, okay, but how relevant is a national poll? Because it comes down to the states and who's going to win what states. And that's what's really important, right? I mean, if Hillary gets every single vote in Illinois, well, that doesn't truly help her because she's still only getting those delegates. If she only won 51% of the vote in Illinois, that's all she needed. So in some ways, that can be a little lopsided. Or do you think overall it's still a good gauge to know the popular vote?
You're making a very good point about the difference between the Electoral College and the popular vote. In this country, we have an Electoral College, and it is different from the popular vote. So the states elect electors, and then the electors go and vote. And that process has, you know, got some criticism, but you're exactly right. It's the polling, the national polling is not the true actual metric that we should be looking at. However, in the history of polling, there's only been one race where a candidate has won the popular vote but lost the Electoral College.
It might be our man Al Gore, right? Al Gore.
Yeah. Yeah. So you can also say that looking at the national polling is indicative of is a kind of a quick not dirty, but a quick way to get a good gauge of where things are going.
Let's talk about exit polling for a minute. I don't know if that falls into your realm. I hope it does a little bit because I want to say, actually, going back to that Al Gore, George W. Bush race, that day during the day, I was working in the newsroom and on radio shows, and we thought Al Gore was running away with the thing based on what we were hearing from early exit polls. Of course, that turned out not to be the case. How much credence do you put into exit polling?
Well, I wouldn't put any credence into an early exit poll. Why? Because the people that are doing the polls, those exit polls, have to do a lot of waiting to the data once they get it. And that's because the way that they're conducting an exit poll is necessarily an inexact science at the beginning. It becomes an exact science once all the demographic characteristics are taken into account, but those early raw numbers don't have that. And so you're going to typically make a mistake if you're looking at those early numbers. Once the exit polls are finalized and the statisticians have done their job, then they become very, very indicative of how the vote actually occurred. The thing about election exit polling, there's two types. There's one that's going to be the ones to famously call a state.
Right, right.
And then there's exit polling that is really done to be an artifact of what happened in the race. And so you've got two little different ways of looking at these exit polls, both for different reasons. But the ones that call the race, if you look at early ones that aren't done entirely, they're going to be problematic because they're not appropriately weighted.
So if the exit polling is a little less accurate during the day, is it pretty irresponsible when we start hearing about it, or do you think media organizations are relatively good? And do you think that's going to change this year, John? Because everything has been different about this year. I think the candidates are meaner at the end than they ever have been. As you said, we've got two candidates that people just don't tend to like. Do you see polling factoring into it all things heading up to Election Day?
Well, I think they've been mean throughout the campaign. It's been a very mean-spirited sort of back and forth between the candidates that extends all the way back to the primary situation, especially on the Republican side. As far as polling, kind of picking that up and looking at that, polling does a great service to the country. If we didn't have polls and you woke up on November 9th and, oh, Hillary Clinton won, how did that happen? Then we'd all, be all scratching our heads. I don't think that would be a good thing for American society, or vice versa. If Trump won all of a sudden and nobody had known this beforehand. Polling is a fact of life in the United States. I think we're all better off, just understanding that, using that to our advantage as consumers of polls. There's more polls now than ever before. Of course, that brings some criticism in, but also it helps to make sure that the electoral process is understood.
Historically speaking, and I don't want you to speak to either of these candidates necessarily, but with the swings we've seen back and forth with these polls, and like at 538, you can see how it's gone up and down and up and down. 4 days out of an election, is it still pretty changeable? Will we see any more polls having First of all, will we see a lot more polls, or do you think it wraps up soon? And also, do you see, and historically, do we ever have really big swings or further swings in polls this close to the end?
Well, pollsters and the media organizations that pay for the polls learn their lesson, have learned their lesson over time, that you poll all the way through election eve.
Okay.
Because they don't want to get bit by an errant call. People do change their minds, and there is still movement that could occur. It's tempting to say, oh, well, you know, Nate's got Hillary Clinton locked in at 67%. That's how it's going to turn out. No, I mean, there's a 33% chance that Trump could win, and the way that would play out is there would be some change, at this point, fairly minor change, frankly, in the electorate to make that happen. So, yeah, things can change in the last 72 hours.
And that's the thing, as we talk about Nate Silver's site here, that I think we need to make clear is he's saying, as it stands right now, based on all the polling, there's a 66% chance that Hillary Clinton wins the election, which means in one third of the models he's putting together, Donald Trump wins this election. He's got still a 1 in 3 chance of winning the election. That's not the worst numbers in the world, right?
Oh, absolutely.
I mean,
not. I think he's got a if you asked anybody that, whether Donald Trump would have a 33% chance of winning the presidency a year ago, I think everybody would have laughed you out of the bar that you were sitting in. But he's here now, and he's got a 33% chance of winning, and I think that's a legitimate number. Whether that actually pans out, we'll have to wait until November 9th.
Well, and quite honestly, 2 weeks ago he was at a 12.6% chance, so he's got to like the swing. I mean, that's definitely come back in his favor quite a bit. And I wonder if historically, do things tend to tighten up towards the end? You know, it's funny to me. I think that, you know, all of these things that I think that, and now listen, I'm in the media and I don't believe that we purposely try to push things. I mean, yes, there are of course organizations that are a little more left or right or whatever, but I believe the media in general wants a close race. They want you to want to know about it up until the day. If Reagan's blowing out Mondale by 49 states to one, and we know this a month beforehand, then we have nothing to talk about. And then it's not interesting,
yeah,
and you're not watching. So it's in our interest to have an interesting race that's going to have a lot of news and newsworthiness about it. So I wonder if historically, does the country fall that way? Do polls tend to tighten up towards the end?
No, I think it's the opposite. I think maybe polls might tend to tighten up. I think very different races have different situations and different polls are tightening and not tightening. But I think the electorate actually does not tighten. I think in reality you'll see that there is a little bit of separation, more separation than maybe tightness in the last, let's say, 72 hours than in the preceding couple weeks. I think in the preceding couple weeks, things can tighten, things can move apart, but generally it's going to be tighter than it is at the very end. Frankly, you have a decision to be made, right? The American people have to make that decision. Decision will be made, and that will force people to make one of two choices, or a third choice and stay home, but they're
right,
still made a choice. And that just mathematically forces probably more of a separation between the candidates. And that's probably a good thing for the country. I think if we had every race won or lost by a half percent, we would have a much more divided government, whereas if we have races that are decided by 5, 10, 15%, I think in those sorts of situations, you've got kind of a mandate to deal with.
Well, I think that's certainly true this year, especially because these candidates are so at odds with each other, and the country has become pretty divided over this. I certainly have one way I want it to turn out, but either way, you'd like it not to be a hanging chad situation where everybody has a beef about it and it doesn't seem legitimate or whatever's going to get thrown out there. I hope November 8th ends up being decisive, I guess, for the good of the country. We'll see how that works out. It's only a couple of days away. More information from John Neenstead at Competitive Edge Research. You can follow them on the website at cerc.net. Check them out on Twitter at Competitive Edge. John, thank you so much for jumping on the phone.
It's been great. Thanks a lot.
We've got lots more to do. Stay with us. The Matt Bubala Show on 720 WGN.